This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, and you're listening to the Ramble Redhead Show.
Archer Radio. Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and we'd like to welcome you to today's episode. Today, we have a very special guest, and his name is Archer, and he is a very well-known podcaster in the gayosphere, and he is on the show today, and we'd like to welcome him to the program. Hey, Archer, how are you?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm rambling. I'm very, very good. Well, what I want to do, first of all, is thank you so much for agreeing to be on the program.
You're very welcome. I'm sorry it's taken so long to get me on, because I know you've been trying forever.
Yeah, I've been stalking you and leaving you messages. And
that's right.
And that's the only way I can get people on the show. It worked for Wanda. It took a while, but she's a tough girl to get, too. So.
Yeah, I bet she is.
Well, I wanted to get you on the program because I want people to really to get to know a little bit more about you and you as a person, and what was your goal with your podcast, because you've been doing this for quite a while. You've had a blog, and then you've had your show.
Well, I started the blog in November of 2003, so that's almost 4 years, or 3 years, and I started the podcast in April of 2005, so that's been more than a year, like a year and a half now.
How did you find out about podcasting?
Well, through blogging, actually. I was a part of a big blogging community there for quite a while, and people post different things on their blogs, of course, and I just remember reading one time about posting an audio file. So way back in 2004, I think it was like April 2004, I posted one little quick audio file just to see if I could do it, and then reading about it on other people's blogs gave me the idea to start doing the podcasting. But before I started, I did a lot of research, and then I found John Ong and Wanda Wisdom and Feast of Fools and Madge. Those were the first four that I knew that were out there, and started listening to them and finding out how they do it, and writing them emails and asking them questions. And so I got all the stuff together before I even started to do it in April by the next year. So.
And tell everybody what your show is all about, even though most of them probably know already, because they're listening to mine.
Yeah. Well, my show is just basically, it's like an audio blog of my life, just stuff going on in my life with my boyfriend. We talk about wine. We talk about things that we do. We talk about politics, sometimes movies, sometimes books, sometimes history. We chat with people on Skype. You know, I'm always getting people on Skype to talk. Basically, it's just what's going on in my life.
Well, good. Well, I have to say that I really enjoy your program. In fact, as you well know, I call you practically every day when I listen to an episode, and I especially loved your Gypsy King show, where you talked about that lovely lady that you got to see.
Yeah. Now, before I get too bad, can you cuss on your show?
Oh, of course.
Okay, I didn't know if you were explicit or not.
Well, I am explicit, so you can cuss away.
I was just going to say, because we got to see some pussy.
Yeah, that was too funny. And I loved the way you described it. And then you were just so serious, but you're like, oh, my God, you could see her lips and everything, and they're flapping in the wind or something. It was so
funny. Oh, it was nasty. It was so nasty.
Okay, well, we're going way off the normal format of my show, but I just wanted to talk about it because that was so funny. We probably should have saved that for the end, but oh well.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that show.
Yeah, it was really good. And I got halfway through the history show. I haven't got through that one yet, but it was one of your current episodes, but it was good.
Yes.
With the boyfriend. But, okay, well, let's learn more about you. Are you ready to get through the Ramble Redhead questionnaires?
Yes, you know what? I've listened to your show now for a couple of months, and I have to say that you really get people to tell you a lot of stuff, don't you? And I don't know that I'm willing to give up that much information, so if I say I'd rather not answer, you'll have to respect that, okay?
Oh, I will. I respect all my guests on my program.
But for the most part, I pretty much tell you anything.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure the listeners will as well. So, can you tell our lovely listeners how old you are?
I am 42 years old.
Okay, so we're very close in age. I'll be 42 in November. And November 4th, so in case anybody wants to send me thousands of gifts, you know, you can. Okay, bad joke. And, okay, where are you from, Archer?
Well, I was born in France, but I grew up in Northern Virginia, right outside of D.C., and I've lived here ever since.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And are you an only child or brothers and sisters?
No, I come from a huge family. I have six brothers and sisters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how do you rank as far as the order?
In the seven, I'm number six because I have a twin brother and he's number five. He was born first.
Oh, wow. Cool. So that's a very big family then. So how old were you when you realized that you were gay? Or had feelings?
Probably seventh grade. So what would that be, like 12, 13, somewhere in there?
Right.
So seventh grade.
Okay. And did you, when did you finally admit it to somebody?
Probably my junior year in high school. Because I had a boyfriend then, so.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. What was it, my junior year? Yeah, I guess it was my junior year because he was a senior. Yeah. And we were working together at Shakey's Pizza Parlor and basically just hanging out all the time. And then one thing led to another, and we were having sex in the park.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. So how long did that last?
Well, I 2 years because I went to college. We went to the same college. He was a sophomore and I was a freshman. We moved in together. But that was not a good thing to live together because within 6 months he had moved out and we broke up.
Oh, no.
Which was fine because he was a slut and a tramp and didn't know anything about commitment at the time, even though I was awfully young, too.
Yeah. But you really loved the guy. You really had hoped that it would be better or longer?
Actually, I don't think I loved him. I just think I liked being in a relationship, having regular sex.
Well, sure. Who wouldn't?
Right.
Okay. So you did. So obviously, you came out to him or your friends. Now, did anybody in high school know at the time?
They probably could guess, but I never told anybody. I never came out to anybody in high school. No.
No. Okay. And did you have? I'm just curious. I mean, when I went to school at that time, because we're both close to the same age. I was just wondering, did you have any problems as far as school about being?
You know, I can't say that anybody actually called me gay or, you know, teased me or anything, but I am sure it occurred. I'm sure people, you know, jocks said things. But for the most part, I think I had a pretty decent experience in high school. I don't think it was a big deal. But then again, I don't consider myself to be, like, flamboyant or really crazy gay or whatever. You know, I don't know what to say. But I don't think I had any problems with it in high school.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad because, you know, as you well know, around that time, there was a lot of people that did, and exactly my high school was not exactly the best. But it's just, you know, I'm just sure everybody has their own experience, and I was just curious what it was like for you. So I'm very happy that you didn't have to go through that. So the next question I always like to ask is then about the family, you know, coming out to the family. And I was just wondering, how old were you when you finally decided to tell your mom and dad or your brothers and your sisters and stuff?
Well, I came out to my father first in like 1980, God, I want to say 84, 85. Maybe it was 85, actually. Came out to him first, and he absolutely had no problem with it at all. He was great and has always been great. But then I didn't tell anybody else in the family because my parents had just separated like a year before that. Excuse me. So I didn't tell anybody else in the family for a whole other year. And my father kept my secret for a year, so.
Well, I was just curious, why did you just want to tell him and not the rest of them?
I guess because at the time I was pretty close to him, and I don't know, I just felt like it would be the most comfortable thing to do. Because, see, when we were growing up, any time there was like a, granted, now that you have to think about seven kids watching television, one person gets to choose what's on TV. Well, on certain nights, my father would just go ahead and pick what was on for TV. And any time there was a show that had like a 2020 show or a Dateline show that had anything to do with things with being gay or AIDS or gay sex or anything like that, my father would always say, you know, it's all right if you're gay. you know, he would always say things that would be very affirming about being gay.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if that was his way of saying that, oh, I already know that you're gay and you can tell me anytime. But he always made it very comfortable. So I never had a fear of my father being upset about me being gay or whatever. So that's why I guess I felt it was more comfortable to come out to him first, because I also knew that he's very a liberal Democrat and, you know, all that kind of thing. So I knew that he would not have a problem with it.
Well, how did your how'd the rest of the family act when he said things like that?
Well, actually, they didn't think anything of it. I don't think they, because they're not gay, so they don't. It doesn't tune into them. I think he was just making sure that, you know, like trying to teach a good lesson that, you know, don't discriminate and be nice, you know, all that kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't really remember how they reacted, but I know it was not negative. So
okay, good. Well, I was just wondering because, you know, when someone makes a general statement like that, then you think that maybe they said, "Yeah, Dad, why did you say that?" Or "Yeah, it is okay." Or you think they'd either be in agreement or would have made a comment or something.
Well, I think we were so young, we didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. I mean, that's neat that you had such an open, honest father like that. That was really obviously accepting of the whole entire family as they were, and that's great.
Absolutely.
So then you came out with them then about a year later, is that right?
Yeah, about a year later, I had been dating a guy for about a year at that time, and it was my junior year in college, must have been my senior year in college in the fall. And I was coming home because he lived up here and I lived about 5 hours away at college. So I was driving up here like every 2 weeks, or he was driving down there every 2 weeks. So I was coming home a lot. And one weekend I came home because my twin brother and my sister went to the same college I did. So we were coming home one weekend for a wedding that we were all going to, go to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't stay at my mother's house like I usually do. I said, I'm going to stay with Jim for the weekend. And I was waiting outside for him to come and pick me up because I didn't have a car then. And my mother comes out and she's like, "Why are you leaving? You just got here. You're leaving. You're going to go for the weekend." I said, "I'll be back tomorrow for the wedding." And she said, "If I didn't know any better, you'd turn gay." And I turned to her and I said, "I am gay." And then she starts clutching her chest and she says, "You're serious. You're serious." And then my boyfriend Jim pulls up and I get in the car and leave. So I left her holding her chest like she's having a heart attack.
Oh, Archer. And
she didn't, though. She did not have a heart attack. But then, so that was it. I didn't have to tell anybody else. So she went in the house and said, "You know, Archer's gay," you know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
So then,
but you didn't.
Yeah. So then, go ahead.
I just find it amazing that you got right in the car and left. I mean,
oh, absolutely. Because I was mad at her. I'm like, "Why are you bugging me about this now? You know, I've been dating this guy for almost a year."
But did
now.
She know him though?
Oh yeah, she knew him. She had seen me with him. I'd gone to his house lots of times.
Okay.
But she was just mad that I was leaving for the weekend after I had just gotten home from college you know, all this kind of stuff. So she was using that as her way, you know.
The good mother.
I'm sure she already knew I was gay too. I mean, she could tell, but it just never was said.
Right. It's a good, you got some of that good mother guilt, you know.
Exactly.
My mom is very good at that. You know, she'll be like, "We'll have a thing, and we'll have a dinner, and we'll like, well, I gotta go," and she's, "You're leaving now?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, aren't you gonna stay for dessert?" I'm like, "No, I gotta do this." But, you know, and that's
exactly.
She's really good at that. But
well, and she was really good at it too, because this was like in September, and then I didn't speak to her until probably mid to late October.
Wow.
And yeah, because she just had an issue with it. All my brothers and sisters had called me between the time that happened in late October, and they had said, "You know, we love you. We don't care." You know, this. You know, they were all very accepting and everything. But my mother was the one who had the toughest time. And then she goes, "Well, are you coming home for Thanksgiving?" And I said, "Only if I can bring Jim with me." And so she's like, "You can't bring your boyfriend to Thanksgiving." And I said, "Yeah, I can. I either can or I don't come to Thanksgiving." And she finally, by like mid-November, said, "Yes, you can bring your boyfriend."
Wow.
Well, then Thanksgiving came, and we had a wonderful time at Thanksgiving. By the time the dinner was over, she loved him, and I actually ended up thinking that she liked him more than she liked me.
Well, I found that with a lot of the people that I've interviewed, that they've said that. They said, oh, I think they liked my boyfriend more than they like me sometimes, and I was like, that's so amazing, you know? But
well, at the time, Jim, my boyfriend, had a son, a six-year-old son.
Wow.
And the son came with us to Thanksgiving, so it was the two of us and his son. So it was like his son became my mother's first grandchild.
Ah.
You know, so she really liked him then anyway. So, of course, that kid's like 30 years old now, 25 years old, something like that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because this was a long time
ago.
Now,
you met him at school? Is that right?
No, he was 9 years older than me.
Oh.
And I was working at a daycare center during the summertime, and he was bringing his son to the daycare center.
Oh.
So I met him that way.
So did he approach you, or did you approach him?
He approached me. He called me at my mother's house and said, you know, this is so-and-so from the daycare center. Would you like to go out sometime? And I was, like, totally shocked. I'm like, okay, sure.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's how that came about.
Cool. And how long did you were together?
That was 3 years.
Wow. So yeah. What was that? Now, did you ever live together, or you always had the distance?
Yes. After I graduated from college, I moved in with him. And then about 6 or 8 months later, we got a condo together and then lived for 2 years together after that.
Wow. That's amazing. So what was that like, being your first, you know, long-term relationship? What was that like?
Oh, it was perfect. It was exactly what, you know, every gay man wants, the, you know, domestic bliss with your partner and, mm-hmm. you know, doing everything together, shopping together, we renovated the kitchen together. I mean, all this kind of stuff. It was just, it was perfect.
Well, good. Well, and I'm sure yeah. It was amazing that you had a, you know, a young child involved, too. That had been.
Well, his son only visited in the summertime.
Oh.
We had him in the summers.
Okay.
So he was with his mother during the school year.
And, well, yeah. I know this is a negative, but what happened then with Jim?
Well, he changed careers, like, January of 1 year. And the career that he chose was real estate, and it was right before the real estate bust of the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh.
And he was spending 12 hours a day doing this real estate stuff. Excuse me. And I kept telling him, I said, you know, you're spending all your time away from the house. I'm taking care of Jeffrey when he's here and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we need to talk about this because things are changing and I don't like how it's changing.
Right.
And he had a really high-paying career before he decided to change. And then things started to get, like, tough. And then he was never, ever home. And then finally I said, and I kept telling him, you know, we need to talk about this. Every month we would have a talk about it, and nothing would change. Nothing would change. And then finally, once Jeffrey went back to his mother's house, I said, you know, I can't take this anymore. I'm leaving. So
wow.
I left him.
Wow. So what yeah. kind of work were you doing during that time? I was just curious.
I was a teacher.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you were a teacher. And
yeah.
is that when you started doing that?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and this is the same place that you've been teaching?
For 19 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing, and that's quite an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And what do you teach again?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, that's fine. All right, so what happened after you left Jim, then? What was the next thing?
Well, after I left Jim, I decided to move back to my mother's house and save money to buy my own condo, so I lived with my mother for probably 6 years, mm-hmm. saving money. And then, and I didn't date anybody. I guess I did date somebody. I guess while I was living at my mother's house, I didn't have a boyfriend for, oh gosh, another 3 years. And then, and that one didn't last for various reasons, but it just, you know, it was just time for it to end, I guess. And then I bought my own condo and didn't date anybody or see anybody for like 5 years.
Wow.
You know, just had a lot of sex. And then I met the current boyfriend about a year and a half ago. And and that's the rest of the story, I guess.
Oh, no, you're not getting off that easy. No. Well, let me answer this question then. If obviously you don't want to talk about your sexcapades, but and I don't get graphic on my show, so I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
We won't go there. But, okay, tell us about the best one. No, just kidding. But just kidding. So you said you met the boyfriend. How did you meet Mr. Boyfriend?
Well, as you may or may not know from listening to the podcast, that I am a photographer, an amateur photographer, and I like to photograph nude men. And I use the photographs in artwork that I do as another hobby. So I had an ad on Yahoo at the Times asking for models, and he responded to the ad and came over and took his clothes off for me, and I photographed him.
Wow.
And that's how we met. And then we had like two or three other shoots after that, and like the third one I said to him, I'm going to have to ask you out on a date. And then I never did because I didn't think I was his type at all. But then he finally asked me out on a date, and then that's... Because like we've said this before, like we met in December, but didn't really start dating until February.
Right.
So, and that's how that went.
So how was the beginning with him? What was that like? Can you tell us, what was like your first couple of dates? What would you guys do?
Well, he took me to a winery once. We went to a museum once. We just had dinner once. That was like the first 3 dates. But the very first one was he cooked dinner for me, and we went to a museum in D.C.
Wow. So that's obviously you both had the passion for all those things, for the wine, the museums. And he's a big fan of history, so that's probably why
he likes history.
That's probably why he likes that. So, well, one of the questions I'd like to ask, you know, as a couple is together, no matter what the length of time. I've talked to some couples that have been together for, you know, 34 years. And one of the questions I always like to ask, no matter what, is I was just wondering, what was the time or the event or the experience that you had that when you realized that, hey, I could really see a long-term relationship with this guy?
I think it was, I'm thinking maybe it was probably at one of the wineries that we went to. We were just sitting there, and it was like things were all like in automatic motion. Like he was pouring the wine, I was setting up for lunch. Everything was just like we had been together for so long. We knew what each other's job was to, you know, prepare for the lunch and sit there and talk about, you know, whatever's going on in our days and stuff. So I think it was then that was like, this is very comfortable, this feels very good, I could do this for a really long time, you know, that kind of thing.
So you could really feel the bond and the support, and that you could really feel comfortable with him. And, well, that's good, because that's what a lot of people, you know, have said, is that once they get to that certain level where you can really feel like you connect. And see, a lot of times when you're first dating somebody, and if it's not working, you can definitely tell, you know, like the conversation just stops, or there's a long pauses, or there's, you know, uncomfortable silences, or, and you're like...
Right, and we've never had any of that stuff.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's great. And now, I'll put you on the spot here. So what if I asked Mr. Boyfriend that question, what do you think his response would be about you?
Oh, my God, I have no idea, because we've never talked about
really?
That. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't really know what he would say.
Well, just to give an example, what happened to me, because I was with that person. I won't, you know, because I have a friend of mine that we both talk about our exes, but instead of saying the name, we say that person. And so what happened was the way that I knew that it was going to be the one was when he surprised me, and he said, well, we're going out of town, and we're going to go to Chicago. We went to Chicago, and we just did a lot of different things, and it was just like, it was like a date you'd see like in a movie, you know, where the guy's trying to romance, you know, the other one, and it was just so romantic, and we did like the lake shore, we walked along the water, we went to this great restaurant for lunch, and it was really funny and crazy, and then that night, we end up going to this very romantic restaurant, and I was like so intimidated because, you know, it was the first time, because it was my first relationship, and so it was the first time going someplace with a guy in a very public place that was more of a romantic setting. And I remember like getting on the elevator, going up to that floor, and I remember, and we were dressed really nice, and we walked in, and I was just like blown away by the elegance of this restaurant. And we walked in, and the host said, "Hello, sir, can I get your name?" And we gave the name, and he says, "Oh, right this way." And everything was so, you know, so classy, and they treated us just like any other couple. And it was, for me at that time, I was really, you know, dealing with being gay and accepting it. And then he was very supportive at the beginning, just trying to help me get through that level. And that's the reason why I'm doing the show. That's why I want to get people like yourself and all the other guests I've had on the show, just to get them to talk about it. And a lot of them had a lot of struggles. And so for me, that's the reason why I like doing this and getting people to talk and, you know, explaining about what it's like. So if it's a younger person's listening, that, wow, it can happen. You know, you can have a...
Yeah.
And it was just really amazing. So I'm sitting there having this great dinner, and I remember looking at him, and he looked at me, and that was when I said, you know, I love you. And because I was just so overwhelmed by the whole day. And he just, you know, it was just amazing. And it was probably one of the highlights of that relationship was just that, you know, that experience.
And that was your first relationship?
That was my, yeah, because I...
And it lasted 13 years?
13 and a half years, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's wild.
It is. And, you know, I got a story that's even more bizarre than that, and I can't wait to get him on the show. But I found out about a gay couple that had been in West Virginia at the time. Remember, we're talking about West Virginia.
Wow.
And what happened was, this guy was working out, and this other guy walked in, total stranger, walked up to the guy and said, "I'm going to be part of your life for the rest of your life." And he walked out. And then for the next 2 weeks or so, they kept running into each other. And that guy kept telling that other guy the same thing, "I'm going to be part of your life for the rest of your life." And then finally, the guy relented and said, "Hey, let's go out on a date." So they went out. And they've been together now 25 years.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Is that bizarre or what?
That's great, actually.
Well, I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful. But I just thought it was so amazing that, I mean, if you walked into a gym and you saw some guy and you thought he was cute and you walked up to him and said, "I'm going to be part of your life for the rest of your life," you're probably thinking, psycho.
Yeah, or is he even gay to begin with?
So, I mean, you just don't know. I mean, unless it's very obvious, but, I mean, you just don't know. So I just thought it was really kind of incredible. So it was cool. So, all right. Well, what I wanted to ask you, too, because obviously, now you've been with the boyfriend for, you said, a year and a half, right?
Just about a year and a half, yeah.
Okay. And you have your place and he has his. And then you guys get together on the weekends or however your schedule fits.
Right. During the school year, because he's a teacher too, we only get together on the weekends. But now that it's summertime, we've been spending a lot of time together lately until he went on his vacation. But, this is pretty much whenever we have the time, you know, that kind of thing.
No, I was just curious, you know, knowing that you do live apart, is that ever been an issue for you? I mean, you guys both comfortable with the setup?
We are extremely comfortable with the setup because he has and needs his space. Mm-hmm. I have and need my space. So we know that, you know, we've got our own things to do. We don't have to spend 24 hours a day together. We kind of like it that we're not living together right now, of course. Who knows what the future will hold. But, we're totally happy with the way things are with the living situation. He's got his own bathroom here at my house. He's got his own stuff in the medicine cabinet and everything like that. So it's just like a second home when he comes over here.
Oh, wow. Well, that's cool. I mean, I'm glad that it works for you because, obviously, with some couples, they would probably say, "Well, why don't we live together?" But I have several friends that do that right now. They have boyfriends, and they have their own separate house, and they have their house. And like Nick in Paris, it's the same thing with him. He and his boyfriend have separate places. So it's amazing, and it works. And it's allows you both to have your space. And so when you want to have that quiet alone time, you can. And when you want to be together, you can be.
Exactly. And I think it'll be this way for quite a while because we're very comfortable with the way it's working out.
But you never know; it might change, and as the future might bring. Well, one of the things I also want to talk about, because you talk about it a lot on your show, and I'm curious because I've been trying to go back to listen to some of the older episodes because I'm hoping I'm going to find some background information on this. But I was wondering if you could maybe clarify it for me and the lovely listeners, is that okay. you have a major, major foodie thing. I was just wondering.
I do.
I was just curious. Was this something that happened to you as a child? Did you?
I don't think so. People have asked me this before, and for the listeners, I do not like to eat fruits or vegetables. And I don't think there was any one thing in my childhood. I just don't think I like the taste of them or the texture of them. So I just avoid them as much as possible.
So you don't like any fruits or vegetables at all?
Well, fruits, I like apples. And raisins when they're in, like, cereal or mixed with nuts or something.
Right.
In terms of vegetables, of course, I like all kinds of potatoes.
Okay.
And I do like carrot sticks, like raw carrots, but not cooked carrots. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Wow. Because, see, I have – you like apples. Do you like apples raw and then you like
– Oh, I only like them raw, not cooked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're so mushy and yucky when they're cooked.
Well, I'm the exact
– It's a texture thing, man.
Oh, okay, because I'm the exact opposite. I'll eat a raw apple, but I don't like it. But I love it when it's cooked, and I'm the exact opposite. So I mean, I could eat an apple pie. I'll eat the whole thing if I wanted to, but I would not. I could not eat a raw apple to save my life.
But you'll eat all other kinds of vegetables and fruits, right?
Oh yeah, I love majority of the only ones I don't like is I don't like raspberries. I don't like kiwi, those kind of things. But, you know, I like most of everything. I love strawberries. Don't you eat strawberries? Did you say you eat strawberries?
I do not like strawberries.
Oh, wow. That's my favorite. And then I love most of the veggies. So that's good. So what – I'm just curious because I was telling a friend of mine about about your food thing. And he said, well, what does he eat then? And I said, well, he eats a lot of – sounds like beef or chicken or
– Right. I am a big meat and potatoes eater. I'm – like all kinds of beef, all kinds of chicken, some fish, potatoes of all kinds. I like rice. When I can get away with it, I eat a lot of junk food. But you know, I'm so fat that I have to stop eating that stuff. And the boyfriend tries to sneak in different spices and stuff, but I don't like anything spicy either.
Yeah. I love the one episode where you were talking about food and he says, oh no, I didn't put that in there. And then he said that once you said that you liked the food initially, but then when you found out that it had something you don't like, you're like, oh, I could tell. I thought that was cute.
Exactly. And he calls that my backtracking, saying, oh well, it was okay, but you liked it before.
Well, I did that to my sister one time because my uncle Nat used to have a farm and they had a lot of goats and you have goat milk. And so my sister said, I'm never going to drink goat milk. It's awful. I said, well, how do you know you never had it? So what happened was one time I was there for the summer and I brought some milk home and I had it in the refrigerator and my sister comes home and she's eating her dinner. And I said, Kim, do you want some milk? And she says, yeah. So I got her some goat milk and I pour it. And she didn't even see that I, you know, poured it out of the carton or anything. She just – it was in a, like a pitcher. And she drank the whole glass. And I said, congratulations, Kim. You just drank goat milk. And she said, I did? And I said, yeah, what'd you think? She said, oh, it was good, but I wondered why you got me some milk.
Does goat milk taste any different than cow's
milk? No, it's just exactly the same. And it was very good. I mean, you can't tell the difference. If I put a glass of regular milk and a glass of goat milk, you would not be able to tell the difference. So it was just funny to see her reaction. I said, well, what'd you think? And she said, oh, I like it. So,
and she didn't even know.
She didn't know. I like to torture her. She's my older sister. You got to torture your older sister. Well, that's good. So, well, one of the things I also heard on your show is obviously you love wine. You love to sound like you like to travel, and you like to – like music is a big thing for you. And you also love TV. I know you're a
– I do.
Big brother nut.
Yes.
And you know
– I like all kinds of reality TV and sitcoms and movies and – yeah.
What would you say your all-time favorite would be?
All-time favorite movie? Well, it's really, there's two that I really, really like, and I'm a sucker for love stories. So there's this one called Beautiful Thing about these British teenagers in, I don't know where they are, but these two boys that realize they're gay and they fall in love. It's called Beautiful Thing. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, in fact, we watched it 2 weeks ago at for our my Homo Film Festival.
I love that.
Every
movie.
Sunday, I have my gay friends come over and we watch a homo-themed movie.
Oh.
And so that's our thing every Sunday. So we watch the movie and then I give them all a decadent dessert, and then they all go, "Why did you do that?" And then and then we watch the movie. And see, I've been wanting to get them all on the program because I thought it'd be kind of neat to do a show about watching the movie, and then we talk a little bit about it, and then what we liked, what we didn't like. But I have a bunch of scaredy cats, and they don't want to do it. So,
Well, the other movie that I really like is Notting Hill with Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant.
Why did you like that movie?
Because of the love story. Those two, she's the big celebrity, and he's the bookstore owner, and through a series of events, they end up falling in love, and you know. I just love the love story. It's the love story part.
Okay, well, I have another movie for you. Have you seen Serendipity?
I have, and I have it on DVD.
I love that movie.
I do too. A lot of people didn't like that movie because it was a little sappy at points, but I agree. That's a great movie.
Yeah, I have it on my collection too. And every now and then I'll watch and I'll go, oh! But I don't know. I really like that movie. I thought it was very classy, and I like the way the part was. It says, she goes, "I'm going to write my name and number in this book, and if you find it, then it'll be fate." And then how they go on with their lives, and they're both with other people, and then all of a sudden, poof! I'm not going to give you the rest of the story, but I love that movie. So if you haven't seen it,
folks, I like the scene. I like the scene when they're at the ice skating rink and the snow starts to fall. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right. And now, did you like Amazing Race and The Apprentice and those?
Oh yeah, I watched Amazing Race. Oh yeah, I watch all that stuff. I don't watch like Project Runway or
I don't either.
You Think You Can Dance or any of those. I only watch basically the CBS ones, the Amazing Race, Big Brother. I do watch Last Comic Standing. I've been watching that a little bit lately.
What do you think of the guy with the cerebral palsy?
I think he's hilarious.
I do too. I love that.
I don't.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't think he should win, though. I don't think he should win because then people will think he won because they felt sorry for him because he's got cerebral palsy.
Right. So which one do you think should win?
The if she's still on there, because I didn't see it well last week, the big fat black lady.
Do you think she should win?
Yeah, she's hilarious too.
Yeah, I like her a lot because I love that one where she says, "I'm going to be celibate." She says, "Sometimes I celibate and sometimes I give it away."
That's a good joke.
The one joke that I really, really liked about with the cystic fibrosis guy was when, for the audience who doesn't watch the show, he has his arm kind of stretched out and he kind of shakes a little bit and he has the tremors. Well, he talked about how when he was walking around after going out to the bar, he said that the cops had pulled him over and thought he was drunk, so they arrested him for public intoxication, and then they put him in jail, and they kept checking on him. Well, then the third day while he was in jail, he goes, "Man, you sure know how to hold on to your liquor." And because, you know, and then the other part I really liked was when he said, "You know what? All you people are going to go to hell." And then he has a pause. He says, "Because you're laughing at me." But he's a comedian, so hello. But it was really
that's exactly
it was really cute. Alrighty, so well, I don't know if you want to keep going, but
if you have more questions, I'll be willing to answer them.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure your time wise is good. I forgot to ask that question before we started. Well, see, one of the things I really, really enjoy your show is that it's I mean, like you said, you just tell how it is about things are going on, but I love the way your style, the delivery, the way the banter with you and the boyfriend, and then when you start talking with other people, I just love the style that you have. And I was just wondering, have you always been like that, or is it something that you developed as the show grew? And I was just wondering what that was like for you.
Well, I think it's just my natural conversation when I'm talking with people. I don't think I write anything out nor plan any questions. It's very conversational. I just, you know, chit-chat what's going on, and then as I'm talking, something else will pop in my head that I'll ask him about or whatever. So it's just very off-the-cuff, natural with me, and I think I've always been that way. Mm-hmm. When conversations are going, I'll just, you know, see which direction it's going in and go with it.
Okay. Well, I just wondered if you felt the same way as I did. Because, see, when I first started doing my podcast, I mean, if you went back and listened to episode one, you'd probably just cringe. And that's probably why I don't have thousands of listeners, because when I first started, I had a lot of people download the show or listen to it, but it was me going, this is the Ramble Redhead Show, and it was horrible, horrible, horrible. Yeah. But then as time went on, of course, you get more comfortable, and you started getting, and then I started getting all the guests on the show, and I started to really evolve, and it's become what it is today, and I think it's really has grown, and I've really grown. And I was just wondering, did that happen for you too?
Most definitely. If you go back and listen to the beginning of my shows, they start out like at 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, well, I can't think of anything else to talk about. So, you know, it definitely evolves. I think the more you become comfortable talking on the microphone or talking with other people, it definitely evolves. So, yes, mine has definitely evolved. And now I think I'm on episode 255 or 256, something like
wow.
that. So I think over time, you know, your style definitely develops. So,
yeah. You know. Well, it's just amazing because, see, when I did that very first interview with a lesbian couple, that's when the total show went to a totally different dynamic. And once I did that, it just took off. I mean, it's just...
Now, see, I have not listened to your very, very first couple episodes. Did it start out as like an audio blog, or did it just start out as you talking to other people, or how did it start
out? It always started with just me talking about... whatever, just telling a little bit about myself, and kind of like what your show was, just very beginning, just talking about me and what was going on, and I talked a little bit about my ex, and then I, you know, the stuff like that that was going on in my life, and then I started to talk about things that I liked, like the movies and TV, and then around the fall of last year, that's when Brokeback Mountain started, and I was really mm-hmm. excited about that, and I would talk about that, and then all of a sudden, I went to another gay couple. They had a kind of like a party to celebrate their 1 year anniversary. And what I did is I really was hesitant to even go in because I was by myself. All my other friends couldn't go. So I was like, do I really want to go by myself? And then I did. And then I thought, you know what? I gotta get out of this habit of just, and get out and meet people. And so, yeah. So what I did is I went to this party and I started to talk to all the people that were there, and the next thing I know, I met these two ladies, and the one really is a diehard movie nut like I am, and so we connected there, and then the other, she was a big computer person. So between the two of them, you know, we developed a very good friendship, and then she said, "Well, we'll have to have you come over for dinner," and then when I went over, I had my iRiver. And the whole purpose of the interview was initially just to talk to them about working for a company that was very accepting of gays, and they provided the gay benefits. And that was the whole purpose of the show. But then once we started talking and I found out more about them and how the relationship had started, then it just became all about them and that. And it was just an amazing interview. And the funny thing is, in the background, this iRiver is so good that it picks up this trickling little of the water fountain that's in their backyard.
Yeah.
And it picked up, and you can hear the... And it was just so... It was just very intimate little interview. And it was very good, and they were very so sincere. And once they started talking, all these things came out about the relationship and being gay and accepting yourself. And then that's kind of how it all began. So
that's how it actually evolved into an interview show,
yeah.
Right?
So
very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, and then it just blossomed. And then I started going crazy trying to find people to interview and got on the internet and magazines and books and things. And just, you know, so I'm subscribed to every gay magazine. I get online. I started to do like the... And then the most funny thing, though, the story that I love to tell is that I had the Dish Network for years, like almost 10 years, and I got mad at mm-hmm. them, and I got DirecTV. And DirecTV has the gay channel, the local channel. And
yeah.
and I did not have it, and I just went nuts, and I started watching and taping all those shows. Well, they had a show called The Advocate News Magazine, and they had an article about, or a segment about the Call to Duty people. and I paused it right in the middle there, went online, sent them an email, and within a half hour later, Alexander, the founder, wrote me back, went to my website, started listening to my shows, thought it was great, and wanted to be part of it. And because of him, I did his interview plus four other people, and since then, because of him, initially, I ended up interviewing up to 10 other people just because of him, because of the association that I had from that first interview. Because then it blossomed the interview I did with Johnny Simons, a gay director, and then he did a documentary about gay couples having children. Then he gave me some names of gay couples, and then the gay couple gave me a name of another gay couple, and then the gay couple knew this photographer who I just interviewed, and now the photographer who did the exhibit on gay couples has all these other gay couples that he knew that he had taken the photos for, and now he's contacting all of them, and hopefully they're all going to be on the program. So it's just snowballed into what it is today. So, I mean, it's just amazing. And
well, gosh, I feel so honored just to be on the show when you have all these other famous people. I'm not famous at all.
Well, you are in the podcasting world, especially the gay ones.
You know, I don't think that I'm famous. I just think I've been around a long time. There's a difference.
No, I think you do a great show, and I think you should take credit when credit is due. So please.
Well, thank you.
Because obviously you
that.
Have a very loyal audience, and you've done very well for yourself. And you have the wine blog, and that's been very popular. And you said you were noted for that. And So what can you give us the name of that blog so people can check it out if they'd like?
It's virginiawinetime.com.
Okay. And I'm a horrible host. I forgot to mention your website, which is archerradio.com, correct?
That's correct.
And I can check out your show, and you can find it on iTunes as well as all the other sources that you may download a podcast. And, you know, I definitely would recommend you check out Archer's show. It's really, really good. And I love, like I said, when you get the boyfriend on, and I love the banter that you two have, and you know, and it's just, it's really good, and it's really cute. I really like it, especially when you guys get going and you're on a hot topic, and you're just going,
Well, he's so funny because he doesn't really understand, like, the technical part, like volumes and recording and all this kind of stuff. So he kind of totally forgets that stuff, and he screams in the microphone or moves away from the microphone. He doesn't really get that whole technical stuff. He's totally the content side.
Right.
You know.
And he's really good. And I love when he always picks on you about, oh, well, we put onions in the mashed potatoes. No, no, we didn't. We didn't do that. And you're and you go, no, you didn't put onions in those potatoes.
Yeah, I would have known.
Yeah.
But we have a great time. And I love the banter with him when we do a show together, too. It's fun.
Well, I was just wondering, so you told us a little bit about John Ong and how all that started by emailing him. And then you met, like, a lot of other people that you talk to on a regular basis, like Special Delivery Mark and then Remarkable Mark, which that's the thing I have to give you thanks for that as well, because of me listening to your show and getting to know more about Mark, and then Mark and I started talking, and Mark's been a big help, and he's been on the program, and he's such a great guy too, and I want to say props to him and the stuff that he...
I love Mark. He is so much fun. You know what? I don't even know how that started, how we got connected. I think he was a listener of my show, and then I started listening to his food podcast. Right. He does Remarkable Palate podcast, and he like sent a promo, and then I sent him a promo or something like that. I'm not sure exactly how it turned out, but he's turned out to be one of my really good podcasting friends, because he's, if I need someone to fill in for a couple minutes on a show, he has no problem just chatting it up for a couple minutes. And I was just on his show, I just did a couple minutes on his show because he needed a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he is just so much fun. I really enjoy him. Someday I'd like to meet him.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he is a really great guy, and more. I mean, he's so,
and he's, and he's hot.
He is. Because I told him, I said, well, I can add you to the list of hot men that I have on the Ramble Redhead show. And he says, oh, yeah, next year you ought to have the Ramble Redhead calendar, copyright Mark. And so, because he wants credit for it. And
I
said, okay, I'll do that. And then what happened is the photographer who I interviewed for my show went to my website and he looked at all the guys that I've had on the show. And they've all said that, he said the same thing. He said, well, if you want to do that calendar, you let me know and I'll be happy to go photographs of all these people. And I'm like, really? I said, can I go too?
Yeah.
Because, like, Jared and Alexander and Mark and Hector, because you talked about Hector too, and you thought he was a hottie.
Yeah, he was a hottie, yeah. I had heard him before on Feast of Fools, I believe.
Well, I was wondering about that, because he says the name Caesar on the show on Feast of Fools, but when he talked to me, it was Hector. But he didn't sound like the... I don't think he sounded the same, but if you look at the picture...
Yeah, they look like the same person.
I didn't think he did. I don't think he did. I thought he looked like he was, like, heavier, but, so...
But he is the same person, right?
I don't know, but I just thought it was so weird, because on the their show it said Caesar Torres, but when I talked to him, he kept going by Hector, and then I thought the picture on the Feast of Fools was different than the one that he had given me, so I don't know.
Well, I think it's the same person.
Okay.
But anyway.
Well, I'll have to investigate. But he was great. And the funny thing is, I don't know if I ever told you the story, but you know how I got him? I was on gay.com, and they had a thing about all the gay games, and they had about people. So what I did is I found out that he lived in Orlando, Florida, and I put in his name in Orlando, Florida, and I put in Yahoo listing, and it came up with 8 different Hector Torres. So what I did is I called one of them, and I said, "Are you by Hector Torres, who's a runner?" And he goes, "No, you have the wrong number." And then I called the next one, and I said, "Hi, are you Hector Torres, the runner?" And he says, "Yes." And I said, "Well, the reason I'm calling," and I told him all the reason why and what I'm doing. And I said, "Would you like to be on the show?" And he says, "Yeah, I would love to be on your show." He said, and then he said, "Can we do it right now?"
Oh, my gosh.
So I was like, boom. So I said, "Let me get everything set up." And I did the interview. And then he had to go teach a triathlon class where, you know, doing the training. And he came back, and then we did the second part. So it was just amazing and fluky that I've been able to meet these people, and that's how it all happens. You know, it's just a...
That's wild. That's great.
Well, Archer, I have one final question, and if you...
And I bet I know what it is, but you go ahead.
And if you've listened to my show, you should know what it
Which
is.
Which I have.
Okay, let me ask you one quick question. I'll put you on the spot. Okay, of all the episodes that you have listened to, which one did you like the best?
Well, I have to say there's 2 of them. The one where you had Rich, I think it was Rich, the guy who wrote the book about being in an... the gay porn star. I liked, I think it was the 2nd episode of that. I really enjoyed that one. But the one I think that was most touching was when you were talking with, I believe it was Remarkably Mark, about your exes and how you guys got so serious. And it was actually, you know, a little choking me up a little bit listening to you guys talk about them. So those are the ones that I would say stand out in my mind.
Well, yeah. I appreciate your saying that, because see that the 2nd episode with Mark, because you know how Mark is, he's always so happy and jumping and joking and all that. And then when we got talking on that 2nd episode, it just, like you said, it just got so real. And to be honest with you, when I didn't tell him later, but maybe I'm telling him right now, but I just wanted to tell Mark that I really appreciated him being so honest with it, because I felt like, because when you've been in that long-term relationship and then it ends, and then you just feel like no one else understands, and then, like, especially in the gay world, when I tell them I've been together for 13 years, the first thing out of their mouth is, "Wow." And so it's just, it was really neat in a negative way to be able to kind of talk with someone else who understood, and I think that's what came through that episode. And you know, and you're not the only one that has said that. They I've had a lot of listeners make that comment. So
yeah, that was a really good show.
Oh, and speaking of comments and listeners, I just remind me another question before I ask you the final question, because I really wanted to hear this from you, because you have a lot of wonderful listeners, and I was just wondering, of all the, you know, all the years of you doing this show, I was just wondering, have you had like one listener really respond that really touched you?
I can't say that any one of them stands out. I have had emails from people saying, you know, they really like my show, they enjoy, you know, they can relate to what I'm talking about, stuff like that. But I haven't had anybody, like, I've been hearing a lot lately about shows having cancer patients listening to their show during chemotherapy and how therapeutic it is. I haven't had anything like that.
Okay.
No. So, no.
Okay. Well, see, the reason I brought that up is I just had this happen just recently, where I had a 23-year-old guy who is in the military who had went to a Pride Festival and he had got to meet a person that I had on my show. And then because of going to the show, or their website, that then they were directed to my site, and they were able to listen to my show and listen to the interviews that I did, and it really helped him be able to come to terms of who he is and coming out. And one of the things that I'm very, very proud of is that he actually wrote that he really appreciates what I do and the people I talk to, because they're so honest about what had happened when they came out and the struggles and the positive things that they had, that it gave him such a relief that he came out to his folks, he came out to his friends, he came out to a lot of people because of what he heard on my show. And so, and I was so moved by that that I wrote him back and I said, I would love to talk with you about this. And the ironic thing is that he gave me his cell phone and we talked for like an hour and a half one night, and then I said, I want to have you on the program. And so I recorded a show with him just the other day. So it was just so surreal, and you know, and I don't know, I get kind of choked up when I think about it, because I was able to help somebody not have to go through what I did, and that's what I, that's the whole purpose of the show. And
I don't touch anybody like that.
Well, you just make them laugh. You make them laugh. You make them laugh your ass off. So okay. Also, if any new listener who has not checked out Archer Show, you have to go check it and make sure you listen to Gypsy King episode. It's like the next to last episode. Okay, recent. Okay, it's very, very funny. And I thought about taking some of the highlights of your show, like really things that I thought was funny, and put them all together. And I should.
You can do that. I don't care.
And then I should send them to you, and you could. Yes, I'm doing something for John Ong. Did he ever tell you what that was?
No, but I'm assuming it's something the same thing.
Yeah, I'm taking all of his laughing and putting it all together.
Oh my God!
Putting it all together, and I'm going to send it to him. And so then, if everybody has a bad day, they can just download the John Ong laugh track, because it was so funny.
He does have an amazing laugh.
He does,
that's
and it comes
sure.
out of nowhere. He'll be like, "Oh, I went to the store and I did that."
Exactly.
That's so funny. I love his laugh. Okay.
That is exactly how it is. Okay.
Okay. We got to get serious again, because this is a very serious question, Archer. Are you ready for the serious question?
I am ready.
Gosh, you know how long we've been talking? Okay.
An hour and 2 minutes.
Yes. Not that you're counting. But anyway, okay, here's the question, Archer. Obviously, you and I both have a forum. We have a lot of young people that are... Majority of the younger people are listening to podcasts. And obviously, looking back at your life, looking back at all the things that you've done and the relationships you've been in, I was just wondering if there's one thing that you would like to tell the younger person that you'd like for them to learn from you, what would that be?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And I would say that all of the issues and problems that you may or may not have coming out or being in a relationship, it will all go away. You will eventually get over it, and you will have a nice, normal life. You won't be thinking about it all the time, and it won't even be in the front of your mind. It'll be an afterthought, because I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm totally over the whole coming out thing, being out thing, in a relationship thing, because I'm old and I've been out for 20 some odd years. So you will get over it, and you will get past it. It will be okay.
All right. Great. Well, that's the whole purpose of the show, is just try to get people to understand that if you are gay, don't torture yourself. And don't don't beat yourself up. Don't be afraid of what other people are going to think, because the bottom line is it matters what you think as an individual. And then, yes, of course, you want your family to accept you. You want your friends to be there for you. But the reality is that... that might not happen, and the thing is, you have to understand that if it does, then you have to move on, you have to let it go and find the people that are going to be there to support you and love you and be there for you, because that's what you want in life. You don't want to be around people that aren't going to be positive. And
exactly, you just have to be able to let go. If they're not going to be accepting of you, let them go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like when we talked on your show about that commitment ceremony I went to, and how the guy had been married, had four kids, and then the next thing you know, he came out, and his mom has nothing to do with him. And it's just so tragic, and it's just really is sad that that this woman is denying her son, and I don't know if she's denying the grandchildren, but I mean that's huge. And I'm hoping, hoping with time that she will realize how stupid she is. So,
and she probably will in time.
Okay, well, we got to end on a happy note. Can you tell us a funny, happy story there, Archer? Anything?
A funny, happy story?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Putting you on the spot.
Oh, I can tell you one. Well, the boyfriend may not like this, but he doesn't listen to any podcast. So,
he'll never know.
He'll never know. So on my desk, I have my keyboard and my mouse that's plugged into my iMac, right? Well, in front of it, I set up the laptop for him to write an article for the news for our wine site. And he grabs the mouse, which is connected to the iMac, and says, I can't get this mouse to move the cursor on the laptop. I'm like, you idiot, it's not plugged into the laptop. you have to use the mouse pad, you know, the little scroll pad thing. He totally did not get it. I was laughing for so long. Anyway, so that's something funny.
Okay, I got to tell you one real quick. We had a family get together, right? And I have all my family, and see, my dad had 9 brothers and sisters, and they all have kids, and they all have kids, and kids. So what happened was, I'm always been the goofy, sense of crazy comic kid. And so what I did is I was telling all these people a bunch of jokes. And my one cousin just couldn't get this joke. And everybody else got it, and like, ah, that's funny. But he did not get it. And then finally when he did get it, it took him like an hour later, and then when he did get it, he was laughing like hysterically. And you're a smart guy, you should be able to figure this out. Did you hear about the joke about the blind carpenter that picked up the hammer and saw?
Yeah, I got it.
Well, see, he couldn't get it. You know, he kept saying, picked up the hammer and saw, seen, you know.
Like with his eyes.
With his eyes, and he's like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And then, like an hour later, he's like, ah! And he thought it was too funny.
Too funny.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's a bad story. We're going to have to edit that out.
No.
Yes, it's gone. Goodbye.
that's totally up to you.
I know. Well, Archer, you are a wonderful, wonderful guy, and I really appreciate your support, and I appreciate your show, and I appreciate you taking your time today and sharing your story with my lovely listeners.
Well, thank you very much.
And what I'd like to do, if you'd like to say goodbye to the lovely listeners.
Yes, listeners, thank you so much for listening to the show. Check out Archer at archerradio.com, and keep listening to Ramble Redhead.
Okay, great. Oh, and so what I'd like to do, everybody, is just thank you for being part of the program and listening to the show. And I'd love for you to please go to my website, which is RambleRedhead.com. You can also email me at RambleRedhead@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can use my comment line, which nobody uses. So please call me at 574-203-4263. Oh, I have to correct that, except for Mr. Nick. Mr. Nick did leave me a message. Thank you, Nick. I love you. And also, if you'd like to, you can use the My Chingo thing, which only a couple people have. Oh, Archer, before we go, I have to talk to you. Did you get my message?
The most recent one? Yes, I did.
About your message on the Chingo thing?
I think so.
Because it sounded like you were possessed by the devil.
Oh, you know what? You have that. If you download it to your computer, you have to change the speed through QuickTime.
Because it was really slow, and you're like, I live in
Yes, you played that on the message for me, and I knew right away what it was. You have to change the kilohertz or something like that to 44.1 for it to play properly.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk off air about that. But, okay, we're signing off, everybody. So have a great day. Keep on listening to archerradio.com, Archer. And then check out Ramble Redhead, too. So I love you guys. Keep on listening to the show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay,